I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
This is a special episode because we're not actually talking about the movies of the MCU. This is our first TV episode.
Yes, we're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1.
Which, when they announced this, I was so excited for. I still love Agents. I have been following it since Season 1. Good stuff.
Yeah, when Season 1 came out, we were seniors in high school, which seems like a long time ago, but not really that long in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, this came out in 2013.
Wow, that sounds right, yeah.
That's so weird, right?
That's wild.
And I had just taken over as like arts editor for our school newspaper, so I was trying to get people to be like doing reviews about TV, trying to get them to do like fun things. So I like tried to get the ball rolling by doing a review of the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ever. And that's out there on the internet somewhere, because our website, we had a website. They probably still have the website.
My paper didn't have a website because whatever reasons, but I won a low-key journalism award for my review of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1.
Oh,
at
wow.
Somewhere in my house.
Yeah, I didn't. it's just there in the world, and I feel like I should go back and read it, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I feel like if I went back and read my award-winning thing, I'd be like, who was there? No other competition? Was I the only one who entered in the arts and culture section?
Oh my god, that's so funny. Most of my notes for this for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come from the pilot, because mm-hmm. a lot of crazy things happen in the pilot. After that, the most notes I have are for the finale, which I feel like is how we're gonna do this.
All right. Oh yeah, this whole episode is gonna be all of Season 1.
Yes, we're gonna talk about the entirety of Season 1. It's gonna be a lot.
Oh yeah.
But also, I guess for anyone who doesn't know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the very first TV show that came out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It airs on ABC, and it's about Agent Coulson putting together a ragtag little team to do, I guess, whatever he wants?
Yeah, the idea was there were, like, the supernatural cleanup police force of, like, what he did in the movies of basically whenever someone reported something weird, like Thor's hammer falling to Earth, it was his job to go and report it, except now Coulson does it when everyone thinks he's dead. And he just kind of picks up random S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and that was the premise-ish.
It was also very much like, hey, Nick Fury is letting you put together a team because, like, you went through some stuff in the Avengers.
So where do we even start? Well, you said you have a lot of notes about the pilot, so I guess the pilot is a good place to start.
Okay, so the pilot starts with, like, this big voiceover. It's like this big voiceover talking about like having the power to do things, to change the world. And the second I like took 0.00002 seconds for me to realize that it was Chloe Bennett talking. And I was like, oh my god, why is Sky narrating?
It's super melodramatic, right? Like, whatever
it's
she's talking
so
about.
It's so melodramatic. And it turns out it's all about her basically going, hey, I'm with this, like, cyber hacktivist group, and we're right. trying to put all of the information out there in the world.
Right. I forgot that was Sky's intro was Rising Tide Hacker.
Yeah, she was very anti-S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
But, like, still love Sky. Sky's one of my favorite characters.
I was the opposite. It took me a long time. It was not Season 1 for me to like Sky.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I love Chloe Bennett. It's still not sure how I feel about Sky.
Side note, I'm still not sure how I feel about Chloe Bennett and Logan Paul.
All right, this is going to be quick tangent. I love Chloe Bennett until that point. I hate to be that fan who's like, her personal life affects how I feel as a fan, but also Logan Paul is a piece of human garbage.
But moving on to other introductions of characters in this episode, we get to see Ward for the first time, Agent Grant Ward. He is, like, on a mission solo, looking up, like, I don't even know what he was doing. I can't remember. He was just, like, fighting people, and you were like, oh my god, he's, like, so badass, I guess. Like,
yeah, cool. They had to introduce the standard male badass.
Yes. And he's, like, so hell-bent against being on this team, and he doesn't want to be on the team, and blah, 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 blah. And then, obviously, he goes on the team. But the thing that I'm so annoyed about with his, like, introductory scene is that apparently someone thought it would be okay to compare Agent Grant Ward's skills to that of Natasha Romanoff.
Nah.
I'm not kidding. They were like, highest assessment we've seen of someone with, like, espionage skills since Romanoff. I was like, no.
Because when I think of Romanoff, I think, yeah, she is the ultimate super spy. And when I think Grant Ward at that time, I just think, like, he was just the muscle. He's brute force. If you want spy, I don't know who actually was the best spy at that point.
I mean, he was introduced as, like, the spy.
That's telling.
Of the group. Yes. It is telling for what happens later, which we will get to. I hate it so much. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I just was so annoyed. I was like, you're not, like, Romanoff. Please stop. Please stop comparing this man to her.
That is one thing about Agents, is it was the first MCU TV show, and because they're called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they really tried to tie themselves in with the movies, and at some points, most points when they did it, it was just weak. It was just like a throwaway, bad reference.
Yeah, I mean, I like that the first episode had Maria Hill in it pretty heavily.
Yes.
So she was there to kind of connect it a little bit more. There were some references to, like, Extremis from Iron Man 3. Lola is, like, the ultimate reference.
Yeah.
Because that's from Iron Man... Not Iron Man. That's from Captain America, the first Avenger. That's, like, Howard Stark, little flying car from that, but, like, upgraded. Oh, my God. Okay, obviously, we also meet the beautiful, the amazing, the incredible Agent Melinda May.
I was wondering what was taking you so damn long to get to May.
Okay, because Ward is first. Like, Ward gets introduced before May does.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He pulls together the rest of the team first, and then he gets to May. Oh, lol. But side note, I just have this note of Sky, first impression. Oh my god, what a dork. Because I think she was, like, fangirling in front of Mike Peterson.
Mike Peterson?
He's, like, the Deathlok guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, his whole, like, that, this is his season where he...
No, I remember Deathlok, I just can't remember that was his name, and I remember, yeah, oh, yeah, his whole arc.
Yeah, yeah, his name's Mike Peterson, he has a son. He gets injected with the centipede serum, mm-hmm, which is, like, an offshoot of Extremis.
Right.
Sorry, back to May, back to
yeah,
May.
Yeah, back to May. My favorite person in the MCU, and that includes Tony Stark.
Wow.
Yes. I love Melinda May. I went
also, she's Mulan, so...
Yeah, Ming-Na Wen is Mulan. She saved China.
Love her.
She's the best. She does a lot of her own stunts, which we'll see. I'll talk about more later in the show, in the later seasons. But yeah, I have... you've seen it. My May jacket. Got that for Halloween.
You made that, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to buy the patches, and then I went through, like, TJ Maxx and Marshall's looking for this jacket, and then I found the perfect one, ironed them together, and that has been my Halloween costume, my go-to Comic-Con costume. I cosplay a bit, and Melinda May is by far my favorite one to do.
And if you look at our, like, images on the website, Lily's picture is her with Ming-Na Wen.
That picture is also my Twitter header cover.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I paid a bit for that photo, and I have zero regrets.
Okay, yeah, duh.
Also, my favorite fun fact about Ming-Na Wen is she's surprisingly short. Like, they def put her in, like, lifts or heels on set to make her not noticeably as short, But I'm 5'5", and she's at least an inch or two shorter than me.
Wow.
She's small.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we meet May, she's a total pencil pusher. She doesn't want to get involved. She's like, Phil, get away from me. I don't want to fight. I just want to do desk this. Work. Yeah. Yeah, desk work. But the way Coulson gets her on is to be like, you'll just fly the bus. That's it. You're just going to fly the plane. I'm not going to ask you to fight. You're just going to be there. Which obviously didn't last very long.
Yeah. That is a great intro from Melinda May, because you kind of get that, like, why is he so adamant about her? Stuff like that. And then, like, oh, you don't have to fight. You don't worry, you don't have to fight. And then the reveal of when we actually finally see her fight, you're like, oh, if you're looking for your Romanov comparison.
It's actually right there.
Yeah.
Right there. I love, like, a recurring thing for her in this season is her telling people, like, if I need a gun, I'll get a gun.
Right.
And she almost never grabs a gun.
No.
Because she's like, I would just prefer to fight you with my fists. Yeah. Because I can.
Yes. And she'll win.
Yes. And she'll win.
Oh, other Ming-Na Wen fun fact about her casting. Chloe Bennett and Ming-Na Wen are two more, we have two more Asians in the MCU now. And when Ming-Na Wen went in for the show audition, the character's original name was Melinda Rice. And when they casted her, they're like, wait, we can't name an Asian lady Rice. So they changed her last name to May just for Ming-Na Wen. That's one of my favorite facts about this show. There's also an Asian American showrunner.
Can you imagine, though, if her name was Melinda Rice?
Yep.
Y'all should see my face right now. That's ridiculous. I can't even.
Yep, so...
Okay.
Don't worry, it's okay. We got May. We got May.
Our next major introduction is Fitzsimmons.
Were they introduced
and
together?
No, that's actually two people and not one. Leopold Fitz and Gemma Simmons and their babies. And they're so precious. And I love them.
They're up there. They might be, because they're always together, it's always Fitzsimmons. They might be my third favorite person people in the MCU.
Oh my god.
After Tony.
Wow. No, but I just love, like, the way that they get introduced to is just, like, the two of them are just, like, fighting and, like, bickering, like, old married people.
Yep.
About something that they're creating together. Yep. In, like, I think they're on the bus at that point, so they're just, like, bickering. And then they're both like, this is gonna be so... No, actually, Gemma's like, this is gonna be so great, we're gonna get outside of the lab, we're gonna get field work done, it's gonna be so cool. And like, Fitz is like, I don't like this, I don't want to do this. Why should we change things? This is not fun. I don't want to do this. Gemma, why? But like, obviously he would never leave Gemma, and like, Gemma would never leave Fitz.
Right. I do... This is a bit of a spoiler for later in the season, but the platonic to romantic buildup between Fitzsimmons I thought was done really well. Because when they're introduced, you kind of see it, but you're also like, if they don't end up together, I'm okay with their friendship. And then later it becomes more obvious where they're heading.
It's good.
They're so good. Also, remember the days when all Fitz wanted was a pet monkey to help him in the lab?
What? When?
It was a running joke throughout the early season, is he wanted to... a pet monkey to help him in the lab.
I have no recollection of this, and I literally just binged the whole season.
He asked for it at least twice.
Okay. I believe you. Yeah, and that's the team. Yeah, the pilot is pretty much about, like, Mike Peterson. They're following him around, because the episode starts with him saving people from a burning building.
Right, yes.
And then, like, the extremis centipede serum is, like, messing with him. And then by the end of the episode, they're, like, in a train station, and he's, like, ready to blow. Like, the extremis is straight up about to just make him explode. Mm-hmm. In the middle of this, like, very public place. And this is where I think they start to try and set the tone for the rest of the season, where it's all about second chances, at least for mm-hmm. Coulson. Like, it's Coulson's second chance. So he's trying to give Mike a second chance. He's trying to give May a second chance, and Sky a second chance, and not Ward or Fitzsimmons, but, you know, mm-hmm. like, he's trying to build this team up to give everyone a second chance. So instead of killing Mike on site, they actually use Fitzsimmons' night-night gun to knock him out.
It's right like the ultimate trank.
Yeah, it's the ultimate trank, but it knocks him out right at the moment he's about to, like, explode.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take him into S.H.I.E.L.D. custody, and they basically reform him.
Mm-hmm. And he becomes such a great character.
He is a very good character, but, he's got a strange little, he's got a strange arc for this season. His arc in this season is going from, like, good guy, and then exploding when he's trying to save Coulson, and then being used for Hydra.
Right.
And that
they Winter Soldier him for a second.
Yeah, but the way no, they don't brainwash him.
No, it's his son.
Yeah, they kidnap his son basically, and they put this camera in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he receives messages through his eye.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he blows up to save Coulson, he gets severely damaged.
Yeah, and then that's how he becomes Deathlok.
So mechanic.
Yeah. Well, that's how he becomes Deathlok, is the Deathlok was a cybertech program. Mm. And they just were like, hey, let's use this guy. He already has Centipede serum in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Centipede is also from cybertech. So it was like a whole thing. They were like, hey, he used to be on our side. Let's just force him to be on our side now.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
It's all coming back.
Also, things about this season... Skywise, she's very colorful.
Oh yeah, she gets really muted later. Like, yeah.
She wears a lot of colors in this season. And it, like, I just forgot that she was a very colorful person in the first season.
Mm-hmm. Just in general, I remember the first season of, like, remember when they were happy?
I know. Yeah. Also, okay, so the second episode also brings our first incredibly major crossover from the films. And that is Nick Fury.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Samuel L. Jackson himself.
Samuel L. Jackson himself appears in two episodes of this show. The second episode of the first season and the finale of the first season.
Okay.
So in the second episode... I think Fitzsimmons blew up part of the bus.
Sounds right.
Yes. And Nick comes and he's like, you had this thing for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wait, I remember the scene. Yeah.
And it's just Fury like yelling at him. To be like, you had it for 2 weeks. What the hell? And that was pretty great. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I forgot that Samuel Jackson shows up in this show. And then in the finale. But we're gonna get back to that. We're gonna like end on the finale because it's incredible. Okay. So the first half of this show is just Phil trying to figure out what happened to him, because the last time we see him before like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the last time we see him is in Avengers,
and he died,
so dead.
Yeah.
So dead, and he keeps saying. That he was dead for, like, 10 seconds, 3 seconds, whatever. Some seconds. And every time anyone asks him about his, like, vacation time, they ask him about Tahiti, and he goes, it's a magical place. Every single time. Yep. Every single time. And the more and more people ask him about it, the more he realizes how, like, immediate that response is. Until one day someone asks him, and he's like, I hated it. Mm-hmm. Or no, he says, it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, like, love seeing that progression within Phil Coulson. And Clark Gregg is a pretty awesome actor.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, or at least the friends I was with, I was the only one excited for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Excuse me. All my other friends were really mad that they brought Phil Coulson back. Because, like, then what was the point of the Avengers? His death started everything. Why did he come back? And then you had to watch the pilot to really understand what they were going to do with Phil. And yeah, as much as I don't wish Phil had died, but as much as I wish that story had stayed true, I am so glad Clark Gregg is back.
I know. I love Clark Gregg. And when I found out that Phil Coulson was coming back, I was ecstatic. I was like, thank God. I don't care that Phil, like, not Phil. I don't care that Nick Fury lied to the Avengers and said that he was dead when he wasn't. Like I was making it up in my head. I was trying to figure out how they were solving. And I was like, obviously he was never dead, blah, 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 blah. Like, just bringing up all of my theories. And I don't think I ever thought that what was actually the thing was that, oh no, Phil Coulson was dead for days.
Yeah.
And they used an alien to bring him back.
Kree, wasn't it? Because that's a recurring theme, isn't it?
It is a recurring theme but I don't think they actually mention, like, or figure out that it's Kree.
Okay. They use alien tech and
they use blood. Alien biology.
Yeah.
To save him and bring him back. And when he finally finds out and remembers what happens to him, it was because of Reyna.
We'll get into Reyna.
And the whole clairvoyant, and it's this whole clairvoyant business too. That's kind of their major villain of the season is the clairvoyant, who seems to know things that no one should be able to know.
Mm-hmm.
And Reyna's working for the clairvoyant, and all the clairvoyant wants to know is what happened to Phil. So that's why Reyna somehow gets the like memories out of him, and the entire time that like Phil remembers of what was happening to him was just him constantly going, let me die, let me die, let me die, let me die, let me die.
Right, because that was him on the table.
It was him like alive on the table while these like things were poking his brain.
Yes. Yeah, that was very traumatic.
Yeah.
Blah. Good reveal, though, when they finally uncover what happened in the Tahiti Project.
Yes. It is a very good reveal. Some other little guest starring roles that I would love to point out are Agent Sitwell.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a few episodes of this. It's pretty cool. Like, I was watching it and I was like, oh my God, you're in this? I completely forgot. Where did you come from? Like,
Agents had some strong cameos. Yeah. Those are the best tie-ins to the MCU. Instead of weekly trying to be like, oh, did you see what happened in New York? Week. But yeah. Like, Agent Sitwell coming, that one's pretty cool.
Yeah, Agent Sitwell. And then a few episodes later, Sif is in the show.
That one was cool.
Because there's a Asgardian prisoner who got released because of Dark World. She has this ability to, like, if she speaks, then men will do whatever they want. Like, or whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And then, like, a particularly strong man can resist her voice. And Ward was one of them.
All right. Whatever.
But if, like, she touches them, then that's when they, like, fall mm-hmm. for her hard. But women are not affected by this. And, like, part of me was like, okay, but I would have loved it if they did it based off of, like, sexuality.
That, yeah, if you're attracted to women, then you're can you say screwed? Whatever. It's not even that important. But yes, they should have been based off of attraction instead of heteronormativity.
Yeah, I would have loved that. And then it was the whole thing, like, Sif was like, that's because men are the weaker sex. And I was like, I don't like this. But whatever, regardless. Also, in that episode, they kind of, like, tried to make Sif this, like... Okay. Highlight of this episode, I just need to talk about it. So at that point, May and Ward have been sleeping together. I do not like this.
No one liked May Ward. There's, like, a mm-mm. small section of Tumblr that liked May Ward, and I think it's two people.
Probably. Okay. Regardless, so they've been sleeping together at this point. Ward is entranced by Lorelei, which is the the Asgardian, who is the prisoner, whatever. And Sif and May are having this discussion, and Sif in the past had one of her lovers, I guess, turn against her because of Lorelei. So they're having this conversation, and Sif is like, I know how you feel. Like, I've had someone in the throes of Lorelei's, like, wills. I'm so sorry, but you have to do what you have to do in case it gets to that point, and you need to, like, kill him. Like, don't let him kill you. And she's like, he's not gonna kill me. And Sif is like thinking, no, like, he is. Like, don't underestimate Lorelai. And Mei's like, no, he's not gonna kill me because he can't.
Yeah.
Because I am better than him. Oh, but also other things that I know that you were like, some of these like connections to the larger MCU is weak, but in what they visit one of the SHIELD buildings, and there's a wall of agents who have died. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's not a big wall, which is surprising. Like, died in the line of duty.
Yeah.
And Sky reads off Bucky Barnes. I wonder who that was.
Oh.
And this is my favorite theory. There's a theory out there that Peggy Carter was like, no, he was an agent of SHIELD.
That sounds right.
Even though SHIELD had not been established then, Bucky was not even a part of the SSR. He was just like in Captain America's.
He was Howling Commando.
Yeah, but like they weren't maybe.
No, they weren't SHIELD.
They become. I think they become SHIELD.
Yeah.
But they weren't SHIELD at that time of Bucky's death. So I love that theory that like Peggy Carter was like, I'm gonna make you an agent of SHIELD.
Posthumously, yeah. Yeah. That's a good theory.
Like, because there's no other reason for Bucky's name to be on that wall.
Yeah.
Other than Peggy Carter going, I'm gonna respect Steve in this way.
Mm-hmm. And Bucky at that point.
Yeah.
So I guess, is that wrapping up Tahiti and we should get into the second arc?
That pretty much wraps up Tahiti.
All right. So after the Tahiti arc is finished, they went into the second arc, which I feel a little bit bad for because, like I said, they tie in with the movies a little bit. Like, what happens in the MCUs, sometimes, usually, the show will follow. And after Winter Soldier, all I remember thinking was, like, those poor agents. And then we see what happens, what agents has to do with the fall of their TV show. Like, the title of their show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did it really well.
So I've always said that the MCU, like the films and the TV shows, while they're technically in the same universe, the studios don't particularly care about actually creating a story?
Not a story.
Like a symbiosis? Like, is that? Or symbiotic, like, relationship?
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
Where they don't really care about bringing the TV shows into the movies or the movies into the TV shows. And like the TV shows are always trying to, not always, but they try to bring in the movies a little bit, but the movies never even try to think about how these TV shows exist or that Agents of SHIELD exists, particularly because the end of each season is always something huge and the Avengers never seem to be affected by these like huge end of the world things that are happening. And while I have my issues with Joss Whedon, he did say once upon a time, and I'll try and find the quote exactly and link it in the description of our episode on the website, but he said once upon a time that like obviously the MCU doesn't care about the TV shows because season one of our show, they released a film that basically destroyed our concept.
Little bit.
Like, they released a film that was about the fall of SHIELD, and we had just started a show literally called Agents of SHIELD.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
But the writers scrambled. I don't want to say, well, it doesn't look like they scrambled.
They definitely didn't scramble because they had to have known far, far in advance.
Do you think Marvel would have told them?
Yes.
Alright.
They have to. Especially for something that big. Honestly, like, as I was watching, there's an episode with Sitwell where they're like going off on a mission and Sitwell has to go to the boat, like the boat that he's on at the beginning of The Winter Soldier. Mm. And like you can see it's there.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
A little bit. Like while I was watching it, I think this is the first time I've seen the show, like, or seen season one since it aired. I've never gone back to rewatch Agents of SHIELD before. Mm-hmm. But when I was rewatching it this time, I was like, oh, I can kind of see some of this tracking.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely had to have known.
Okay.
Yeah. And as we mentioned before, there was, since we're going on to this Hydra part, we mentioned the clairvoyant before. It's about this time where we find out that the clairvoyant is actually John Garrett, who was Ward's SO. And, what was that? What's that called? What's that stand for again?
I was going to say significant other.
Yeah, I know.
Superior officer.
Yes, superior officer. And Garrett and Coulson were actually trained by Nick Fury.
Mm.
They, like, trained together.
Was. Yeah.
Yeah, they trained together by Nick Fury. Like, Nick Fury was their SO.
Mm.
Yeah. So he comes into the field, into the picture, and you're like, oh, who's this guy? He seems like a really good guy. And then you find out he's the clairvoyant. Like, he's the guy behind all of these, like, weird eye cameras, giving people messages, trying to figure out what happened to Coulson.
Yeah, he's not magical. He's a spy. He's Hydra.
He's just, like, really, really high up and has high security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he was able to, like, be like, I'm clairvoyant. This is how I know about you people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of smart.
Yeah, I thought it was a good twist, because you are kind of led to wonder, also especially in the MCU, like, is this person magical? Do they have superpowers? And then you're just like, oh no, you're just, yeah, you just have really high security clearance.
Yeah.
So good twist.
Which also leads us to Ward's little, betrayal?
Little is a word to describe it.
I hate Ward so much. So much.
How much Ward's betrayal hurt, I think, speaks so well to the investment of the fans, the writers, and this show overall. Because first half of the show, minus May, you love Ward. Like, he's the standard, like, cool guy. He's just there doing things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's great. You love the team so much. And then this hits, and then it hurts. It really hurts.
So, it's like, after Ward says that he wants to go with Agent Hand, who is a higher level agent, like...
She's, like, top three in the series.
Like Coulson. He wants to go with Hand to take Garrett to the fridge, which is their, like, big top secret prison.
So Garrett is outed as the
clairvoyant. It's also been Hydra has been announced. We know that Hydra's happened, and also throughout this little, like, after Hydra is announced and S.H.I.E.L.D. has fallen, Hand seems to think that Coulson is actually Hydra.
Right. Oh my god. I remember. Yeah. They did such... I keep saying the writers did such a good job, but yeah, when it was revealed that there were traitors inside S.H.I.E.L.D., the tension between everyone of, like, we don't know who to trust led to some great, great plot twists.
Oh, my favorite thing...
Like, traitors aside, but, like, when you thought Hand was Hydra... And she was just, it was good.
No, literally, what you were about to say is my favorite thing that happened in the season. Hand comes into a room where Trip, who is a new character, who is with Garrett for most of the season.
The new trainee under Garrett.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's, like, all trained. He's just, like, works with him.
Yeah.
And it's Trip and Simmons in a room, like, locked in a room together. They figured out that Hydra is there and, like, existing in S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're like, oh my god, what do we do? And then Hand comes into the room with a bunch of agents and is like, how you react next will say a lot about you and will determine if you live or die. And she's acting like Hydra the entire time and, like, giving them a chance. They're like, she goes, renounce S.H.I.E.L.D. right now and join Hydra or you die. And both of them are like, well, I guess we're gonna die. And then Hand is like, great, good answer. Here you go. Here are your guns. Like,
she was a great introduction. I wish we would have seen a little bit more of her, because she was a really cool character.
Before she died by the hands of Ward.
Yes. First, I don't know, is that the second unforgivable thing Ward does? Because the first one is betraying.
No, that's the first unforgivable thing he does. Because that's the first, that's the second you're like, oh, you are Hydra.
Okay.
Because that, like, he's going with her to lock Garrett up. And Hand is like, hey, you want to shoot Garrett yourself, Ward? And so Ward takes out his gun, shoots the officers with them, and then Hand.
Right. And then it just goes downhill from there for Grant Ward.
Yes. So downhill.
Yeah, unforgivable things.
Yeah. And then after that, he manages to get himself back to the team. And then Sky finds out that he's Hydra.
Yeah.
Because, she finds out that he's Hydra because he kills Eric, who is the guy who is played by Patton Oswalt.
One of the Patton Oswalts!
Yeah. So he's played by Patton Oswalt, and he kills Eric, who watches over the facility that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he was very close to figuring out that Ward was Hydra.
Isn't that why Ward kills him?
No. Ward kills him because of Sky's trying to hack into the feeds of the fridge to figure out what happened. Oh. And I think he was about to, like, open it up and find out that it was Ward attacked the fridge. So he killed him. But, like, there was a huge, like, lie detector test that was pretty much unbeatable, and that, like, it was, like, implied that not even Natasha Romanoff could beat it.
Right.
So, as he was asking the questions to Ward, Ward was, like, kind of failing, and, like, he literally took his gun out, was, like, had the gun on the table to be, like, I'm gonna shoot you, because are you Hydra?
Right.
And he got out of it by, like, giving stupid answers, like, we're all Hydra. We're all affiliated with Hydra, because Hydra's been with us this entire time. And then, and the last question is, why are you here? And his answer was, I'm here for Sky.
Mm-hmm.
That builds on the Sky Ward, and I'm so mad. Every time I see any of that stupid ship now, I get so angry, even though I was shipping it so hard in season one.
Everyone was, after Mayward dead. And honestly, it kind of was building up that, like, the grand OTP was going to be Sky and Ward, because pretty people get together, and that's just the rule of TV shows. And everyone was on board, and then you find out. And then that was the other worst thing about what Ward did, is because he does genuinely care and love Sky at that point, they get together very briefly. And Sky, before Sky knows, I think it's before anyone on the show knows.
The audience knows.
So they get together very briefly, and it hurts.
It's so bad.
It hurts so much.
Like, literally, while I was watching it, I just was, like, screaming at the TV, because I knew that he was Hydra, and I was just like, I cannot believe you're doing this to her. But on the opposite side, when she does find out about Ward, she does the thing that I never expect from, like, love interests, and goes, I hate you. Like, just completely 180 goes, no, I hate you. Like, there's a scene between the two of them where Ward is like, I may have been lying about everything else, but I still care about you. And Sky's reaction is literally, I'm gonna throw up. I just love that the way that it worked out was not Sky going, I'll follow you anywhere because I love you. It was, no, I'm gonna puke. I hate your guts.
Yeah, or I'm glad it wasn't the whole, like, I'm gonna stay on the good guy side, but I still have feelings for her. She was just like, no, cut and done.
Yeah.
So, since Skyward is dead and everyone hates it, let's get to the actual OTP.
Falinda?
Of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, that's... What?
I thought
Fitzsimmons.
I thought we were talking about Falinda. We talked about Fitzsimmons.
We talked about platonic Fitzsimmons. We haven't talked about Ward trying to kill Fitzsimmons.
Yep. Okay, so are we at the finale now? I guess we're at the finale now.
Here we go. Third unforgivable thing.
Okay, So he
tries to off the best characters.
Yeah, because at this point, Ward and Garrett have stolen the bus, and they're on the lookout for it. And Fitzsimmons find the bus, and instead of doing what Coulson says and not getting on, they get on.
Also, at this point, they are just the brains of the team. They haven't done a whole lot of in-the-field physical agent things.
They've done none.
Yeah, the only
The only things they do in the field is like go out and take test things, and the only other thing that I think Gemma has really done in the field is when Skye gets shot in this season, she just like gets on. She's like immediately there to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So as far as we know, the only thing they've done is like the required training to be a SHIELD agent, and that's it. Other than that, they're the brains.
Oh, you
so
first.
The fact that they did this, they got on the plane to take. Face Ward, and then it ends poorly.
Yeah, so they get locked in one of those, cells.
Portables, jail cells.
Yeah. I don't even think it's a jail cell. I think it's...
It's room. They use it for multiple use purposes. Yeah.
And Ward hits a button, and it falls to the ground. And not the ground.
It falls into the ocean.
It falls into the ocean. And it's supposed to float, but it does not. And they end up at the bottom of the ocean, and Fitz creates a thing, like a homing beacon, so that someone might find them, but it's very weak and no one's really listening to the SHIELD wavelengths right now.
Yeah.
But while they're down there, they're both kind of just like, okay, we're about to die. We're dying. It's okay. And then they do the Fitzsimmons thing, and they figure out a way out. And Fitz sacrifices all of his air.
Yeah, I was gonna say, by figuring a way out, one of them ends up more okay than the other.
Yeah, Fitz sacrifices all of his oxygen for Gemma to get them up, and Gemma's like, I'm not leaving you down here. And she's like, you're my best friend in the whole world. And that's when Fitz goes, and you're more than that.
Yeah, that's the final, because yeah. There's a scene later, because at first Fitz kind of has a crush on Skye. Because she's like, she's new, she's cool, and blah, blah, blah. And then you'll see later on that moment, and he's like, oh no, I love my best friend.
Yeah.
And then that's when he tells her, and yeah.
He's like, I couldn't ever tell you, so let me show you. And that is showing. And obviously, Gemma didn't listen to him and drags him to the top of the ocean. And do you know who saves them?
No.
Nick Fury!
Oh, that's a second cameo, or I guess the start.
It's not a cameo. He's like in this episode.
Oh, nice.
Like, so Nick Fury comes and saves them, and he's like, that was a smart homing beacon that you guys made down there. That's how we found you. Like literally, like Gemma's like screaming out like help, help from the ocean, and then it's like a blurry Nick Fury reaching with his hand out like God to save them.
Sounds about right. That sounds MCU.
I haven't seen this show since it aired.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this episode since it aired in 2014. So when I was watching it in my living room, I literally went, what the hell?
That's the only valid reaction.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah.
I didn't even like think of that. I was like, oh my God, because I was like, how do they get out of this again? I don't remember. How do they get saved from the ocean? And then Nick Fury comes down like God
saving them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Gemma tells Nick how to get to Coulson. And then he gets to Coulson, which is at a cyber tech facility. Because Ian Quinn, who was a side big bad kind of guy, he was a tech guy. He was just trying to, like, sell tech to anyone who would buy it, and even the bad guys, whatever.
Right.
He was one of the team's, like, main nemeses of the season. Yeah. So Garrett is using Quinn to sell, like, the Deathlock program to the United States, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're there. And then Coulson creates, the best plan to infiltrate all of that. By using the Deathlock soldiers, the centipede soldiers against Garrett. So Trip and Coulson like go into the, they go to the facility and they're getting attacked by the centipede soldiers.
Right.
While May and Sky are at a facility, like an off-site facility, where all the handlers for the centipede soldiers are.
Mm-hmm.
And because they attack that site, they get put into, like, default mode, which is to save John Garrett at all costs. And then Coulson's like, great. I'm going to follow you directly to my target.
Right. Okay, yeah. Now it's come back to me.
Yes. Yeah. And while Sky and May are there, that's where they find Mike Peterson's son.
Okay.
And that's how they get Mike Peterson back on their side. Because they're like, hey, we have your son. He's safe now.
You don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah. And they kill...
everyone.
And he kills Garrett.
Right.
He turns around and kills Garrett, and it's great. But while they're there, Nick Fury, like, pops out of nowhere.
Oh, my God.
My God, again. With the big destroyer gun from the Avengers, and gives it to Coulson, and was like, here you go. I'm sure this'll work.
Does he just travel? Did Fury just travel with that? Just hold on to it?
I guess.
All right.
I don't know. I guess he just, like, had some stuff. So he had it and gave it to Coulson, and I honestly love all of those scenes because there's a lot of Nick just going, you didn't tell me he went that crazy. And Garrett is going on this whole spiel about how he was like, you know how you used to tell us that we would finally understand who we are when we become something bigger? And Fury's like, a part of something bigger. Don't tell me you went this crazy because you misunderstood my whole one man speech. Yeah. And I just love the, like, the relationship between Coulson and Nick.
They have a really good one.
Yeah, seeing them, like, work together and just, like, kind of stand near each other was hysterical. Like, mm-hmm. It was so great. And Coulson was just like, yeah, I understood the speech. It was very clear. I don't understand where he's coming from. Like,
Coulson is a great comic relief.
Yeah, he really is. It's so good. It was so good to see them together on screen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Mike Peterson kills Garrett, which is fantastic. And then...
well deserved.
This season finale has, like, four different endings.
Sounds like Marvel.
Yeah, so Mike Peterson kills Garrett the first time. Cool. And then ends... and. Yes, I did say that the first time.
Oh, no.
We're gonna move on. Ends with, and then it ends with Fury going, you're the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Here is my toolbox. You are going to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah.
And then it's, the like, hangar door opening, and Gemma standing there alone, and the team is, like, going to her, and it's like, what about Fitz? And that's when Gemma's like, Fitz is, like, he's alive. But we don't know how he is yet. And then it goes to Reyna with a photo of Sky handing the photo to someone going, mm-hmm. I found your daughter.
Yes, that intro.
Yes.
We're gonna get into that one. That one's interesting.
I mean, that's next season.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Coulson writing weird stuff on the walls.
Wow, like, they really like threw
alien,
a lot into this.
Alien languages on the walls.
Yeah.
Also, within that, I don't remember exactly where in that it is. Garrett is, like, turning himself into a Deathlok soldier because he didn't die, apparently.
Okay.
And then Coulson is there with one of those, like, Tesseract guns and shoots mm-hmm. him and just makes John Garrett, like, disintegrate into nothing.
Okay, so he actually dies.
And then he's actually dead. He's actually, okay. actually dead then. Yeah. Which is kind of funny. We also get introduced to the second Patton Oswalt character.
But I love Patton Oswalt's cameos. What happens... yeah. To,
Billy.
Because Ward is arrested.
Yeah, Ward gets arrested.
He makes it out alive.
Yes, so the May... Ward goes to the off the site where May and Sky are, and Sky's like, I have a secret weapon, and it's definitely going to take you down. And Ward's like, oh, what's going to take me down? Like, you're not going to kill me. And she's like, no. But my weapon, she's pissed. You slept with her, and she's pissed. And then, like, May just comes out of nowhere and, like, kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
And, like, takes him down. And then they have that whole, like, you were never on top conversation. It's a very good fight.
It was really... The fight choreography in Agents is some of the best.
Yeah. Although, I do have to say, when May had, at that point, like, staple-gunned Ward's foot to the ground, and then she did a spinning roundhouse kick to kick him in the face again, and as much as I was like, that looks cool, that was unnecessary. Like, that was my thought process during it. I was like, that looked really cool, but I think that was unnecessary.
Right? There is some fighting that she did with Ward of just, like, I have to subdue the enemy, and there was others like, oh, there's just one more kick because it's personal.
This is just for fun.
Kick a Nazi.
Yeah, why not? I also do love when Skye calls Ward a Nazi, and he's like, I'm not a Nazi. And Skye's like, no. Like, chapter one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. handbook, the Red Skull was a Nazi.
Hydra was founded by Nazis.
Yeah.
Chloe Bennett to this day will still... Because people do still ship Ward with Skye, and she to this day fights them on it. She's like, she would never date a Nazi. It's not just that he was a bad guy. He was a Nazi.
Okay, so here's the thing. The finale does lay some groundwork to make a redemption arc possible for Ward. There's a lot that happens where, so Garrett, though, Ward's talking to Garrett, and he was like, our whole alliance was with Hydra was to get you better. Like, because that was Garrett's whole thing. He just wanted to get better because he was also a part of the Deathlock program, but it wasn't working with his body. And that's why he wanted to know how Coulson survived, blah, blah, blah. And so Ward's like, so now that you're okay, we don't have to be a part of Hydra anymore, right? And, like, there's just, like, a bunch of little things. Like, this is also the episode where we get a little bit of Ward's backstory on, like, how he gets with Garrett, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's the scene where Garrett tells him to shoot his dog. And instead of shooting the dog, he shoots the gun into the air and the dog runs away. So there's, like, little things that they're trying to say, like, hey, Ward's not, like... Like, maybe Ward can be reformed. Like, he's truly a good guy. He's just being manipulated by this really terrible guy. So I understand why maybe after this season specifically, there's hope that, like, Skye Ward will happen because the redemption arc might have started. But we don't know if the redemption arc started yet. I mean, like, we know, but, like, we're not going to get into it yet.
Yeah, we'll save that for season two.
Yeah. I think that's it, unless you have any final thoughts?
Not really. I would say if anyone... Because I know a lot of people skipped out on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because the first half of the season was pretty lukewarm. So a lot of people didn't care. They didn't like Coulson was back, so on and so forth. I highly recommend watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's one of my favorite TV shows, Marvel aside. They do some really cool things and really cool character development that you're going to see later of the seasons. But I highly recommend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you're in the MCU at all, you really should watch this show. It's so good.
Season one was very solid. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed rewatching.
Yeah, and it gets better. The later seasons just get better.
It does. I mean, it gets a little worse and then it gets better, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, so I think that's it. We'll be with you till the end of the line. So next week we were going to do Guardians of the Galaxy, but my life and Lily's life is a little haywire, so we're not going to have time to record. But we will be back the week after with Guardians of the Galaxy. Hopefully it'll be a really great episode. Bear with us. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. And you can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. You can also check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com, for the podcast and any updates. Yeah, also we're on iTunes.
Thanks to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland. And thanks to us for editing and producing.
Yay, please help us. It's a lot of work.